I want to talk to you about champions this morning. Champions of the cross. How many ever ate that breakfast of champions? What was it?
Wheaties.
Breakfast of champions. I had that when I was young. I thought, boy, this is going to do it. Passage of scripture that I want to share with you. From the Phillips translation, the Apostle Paul, writing to the early church, said, all of us who are spiritually adult. How many spiritual adults do we have here? How many spiritual babes do we have? Huh? Got any spiritual juveniles? Now, I'll make up your mind which one you are, babe or juvenile.
I don't know which.
Paul was writing this to spiritual adults. All of us who are spiritually adult should set ourselves this sort of ambition. And if at present you cannot see this, yet you will find that this is the attitude which God is leading you to adopt. It is important that we go forward in the light of such truth as we have ourselves attained to. How many know you're following the truth?
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Paul continues, let me be your example. Here, my brothers, let my example be the standard by which you can tell who are the genuine Christians among those about you. The people around you know you're a genuine Christian? Do they know how a person ought to serve God? By looking at you. For there are many of whom I have told you before and tell you again now, even with tears, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. These men are heading for utter destruction. Their God is their own appetite. Their pride is in what they should be ashamed of. And this world is the limit of their horizon. But we are citizens of heaven. Amen? Our outlook goes beyond this world to the hopeful expectation of the Savior who will come from heaven. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ. He will remake these wretched bodies of ours to resemble His own glorious body. Somebody say, praise the Lord. By that power of His which makes Him the master of everything that is. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for Your Word. And Lord, we are thankful for this man, the Apostle Paul, who walked so close to You, that Lord Jesus, He could be an example of how we're to live our lives. He could be an example of what a Christian is all about and what we should be all about in living for You here on this earth. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Now, Holy Spirit, come. Touch our hearts, touch our lives, quicken our minds. Touch these feeble lips of clay to bring forth the word of God. Amen. This is one of the most important passages of Scripture in the Bible. It has to do with being an example. Anybody believe that somebody's watching you? I know they've been watching me. If I say anything, their ears are perked up. How I act, how I handle myself, they're paying attention. You think your neighbor's watching you? I'm not going there, Linda. Do they know by your example that you're a child of God? A champion of the cross. Now you know, the cross is to Christianity as the flag of our nation is to us. We have some men here this morning that have fought on the battlefields of the world. Brother West back there, you received the Purple Heart, didn't you? Fighting in Korea, shot at, nearly killed. Brother Roy here knows what it's like to feel the explosions of incoming artillery in Vietnam. They went because of that flag. You go to Arlington National Cemetery, you see the thousands of white crosses and white headstones across that vast cemetery. All of them went because of the flag. They were patriots. They fought for this country and this nation, and that flag became their standard bearer. You and I as Christians ought to have the cross as our standard bearer. This cross to you and I as believers in Jesus Christ, that He died on it, that He was crucified there, that He gave His life, shed His blood, spilled out Himself, that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. That cross ought to be our standard bearer. Therefore, we ought to be champions. As men and women fought for the flag, we ought to be champions for the cross of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen? I want you to recognize that when you're in the grocery store, somebody's watching how you act. When you're out in your yard, your neighbors are watching you. When you're talking to someone, when you're driving down the highway, the guy with the little lights on top, he's watching. You behave yourself, no problem. If you don't, you got a problem. Hello? Your husband is watching you. Your wife is watching you. Your kids are watching you. Your grandchildren. Amen. When you burn the beans and you throw the pot, the grandkids are saying, get out of Granny's way. She's mad. She's not a Christian today. Uh-huh. Now, like one professor I had in Lee, he said his wife offered him a burnt toast every morning for breakfast. He came to figure out that she worshipped him, offered him a burnt offering. We have to recognize that we're being watched and we are being an example. The way we live, the way we talk, the way we handle ourselves is an example to the people around us as to whether or not they can follow our Jesus or not. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, if they're a Christian, I sure don't want to go to heaven? I've heard that. No need for me going up to that church. I live as good as the people that go up there. I know them. And so they've made up their minds, if that person is a Christian, then I don't want anything to do with it. Paul says here, I'm an example of the cross of Christ. You can follow me because I'm setting the example. And that's exactly what you and I should be doing. When we're called champions of the cross, there are three things that come to mind here that Paul discussed. Number one is we should emulate good examples. How many know somebody that you could pattern your life after and know that if you did, you were serving Jesus? Amen? My father was such a fellow. You could watch his life. Matter of fact, there was a man he worked with many years ago, Fred Bowers. Fred was a rough, tough, hard-drinking, fighting, you name it, Fred Bowers was into it. But he worked with my dad and he watched him. Never cussed, never smoked, never drank, never got angry. Lived the example of what Jesus Christ was all about. And finally, Fred Bowers came to the place where he said, I want to be like Ernest Lay. And so he went to church and got saved, gave his heart to Jesus. Emulate good examples. Secondly, avoid bad examples. And thirdly, live in eager expectation. Now let's look at them. Emulate good examples. Paul says in this text, let me be your example here, my brothers. Let my example be the standard by which you can tell who are the genuine Christians among those about you. Now that's the meter that we're going to hold up to your life. Paul knew he was a good example for Christ because in verse 9, he said he could never stand before God in his own righteousness. In other words, he was willing to admit that he wasn't good enough within his own good works to come and stand in the presence of God. Amen. How many of us will ever be good enough but because of what we do, to be able to be an example? No. That's not what it's all about. Paul was saying, I have to depend on Jesus Christ and His righteousness. In verse 12, Paul said, he pointed out that he had not yet attained perfection. But that shows his humility and his honesty. How many of us are perfect? Huh? How many of us have made it to the place where we can go around and tell everybody, look at me, I am the item of perfection. You just made your first mistake. Amen. None perfect. So that means that we, if you run into somebody who is humble and who is honest and says, look, I'm the last one to be perfect. He's the only one that is perfect. You're getting close to a good example. Amen. Verse 13, Paul readily acknowledges that he has not yet apprehended what he has to be, what he is to be. He saw a clear vision of what he should be. And he said, I haven't yet got there. Oh, how many of us have made it? I'm going to tell you the truth. You'll not make it until you leave the ground and you're headed toward glory. Amen. When you leave this ground and you look back down and you're looking down from 40,000 feet and all the airplanes underneath of you, you can look up and say, there's Jesus, there's the earth. I must be headed for glory. I have now made it. Hallelujah. Glory. Paul said, I haven't apprehended. I'm not yet where I ought to be. When you get to somebody and they're telling you, look now, I'm not perfect. I'm still working on it. And I haven't gotten everything I ought to be yet. You're getting close to a good example. Paul also states that he has forgotten or put behind him the things that were past. Hallelujah. He is done with his old life. That's one thing you want to look for in a good example. You don't want to be messing around with somebody that's still dabbling in the world. Still going back to the old things that they used to do. Hallelujah. You want somebody that has put the past behind them. Glory. Cut the ties. And said it's over. I'm done with it. I'm headed in a new direction. You're getting close to a good example. Verse 13. He said, I am reaching forth to the things that lay ahead. How many know there's something good in store for you yet? How many know there's a closer walk with Jesus than you've ever had before? How many know that you can experience a deeper part of His love than you've ever experienced? How many of you are looking forward to the things that He has in the future? When you get to somebody who has that attitude, you're getting close to a good example. And most importantly, Paul said he was pressing toward the prize, even the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. There's my goal. That is Jesus Christ. Is that your goal? Is that what you're looking forward to? When you get a hold of somebody who says, Jesus is my example. Jesus is my goal in life. Jesus is what I'm all about. Jesus is who I want to be like. You're getting close to a good example on this earth. It is this Paul that sets before us a pattern that we should follow, that makes him a champion of the cross. Amen. Now, if you can match these characteristics of the Apostle Paul, if these are what's in your life, if this is your strive of life, if this is your testimony of life, as Paul was, then you're getting close to being a champion of the cross of Christ. We will never achieve perfection, not in this life. Amen? But we are to be follow after Christ and seek to be like Him. Is that your desire of life? I want to be like Jesus. Amen. Now note the point. When we see a person sharing Christ with such dynamic commitment and energy, that person is an example for us to follow. We should follow that person. They are following after Christ, doing the very thing we should be doing. Therefore, they are a living example for us. That makes them a champion of the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, secondly, we are to avoid bad examples. Paul said here in this passage of Scripture, "For there are many that are the enemies of the cross of Christ." These men are heading for utter destruction. Their God is their own appetite. Their pride is in what they should be ashamed of. And the world, this world, is the limit of their horizon. Have you ever met anybody like that? Have you ever seen anybody and you looked at them and you looked at their life and you say, "Oh Lord, help me never to be like them." Amen? I've seen a few. And I'm sure you have as well. Who are these enemies of the cross? They're hypocritical and false believers within the church. And leaders not only in the church, but leaders of nations and movements in the world who set on wiping out the church and the cross. There are people who are diabolically opposed to the cross of Jesus Christ. And some of them are inside of the confines of the church. There's a fellow by the name of Michael Gungor and his wife Lisa. Through 2006, they formed a congregation, a church, called The Bloom in Denver, Colorado. They were known throughout the United States and around the world for their Dove Award-winning and Grammy-winning nominations for worship music, such as "Beautiful Things," "Say So," and "Dry Bones." In 2013, they won an award from the Independent Music Awards for their live performance album entitled "A Creation Liturgy." An award-winning worship leader continues to generate controversy after revealing that he no longer accepts the Genesis account of creation as being literal. This is a guy that writes worship music for churches. Have received Dove Awards. In 2012, Michael Gungor, the son of a pastor and author Ed Gungor, revealed in a blog posted and entitled "A Worshiping Evolutionist" that he had concluded that the Genesis account is only figurative. Earlier this year, Gungor revealed his thoughts even further, explaining in a blog post entitled "What Do We Believe?" that he has no ability to believe in the Genesis as being literal. He said, and I quote, "I have no more ability to believe, for example, that the first people on earth were a couple named Adam and Eve that lived 6,000 years ago." He wrote, "I have no ability to believe that there was a flood that covered all the highest mountains of the world only 4,000 years ago, and that all the animal species that exist today are here because they were carried on an ark, and that somehow they walked or flew all around the world from a mountain in the Middle East after the water dried up." He's a Dove Award-winning writer of worship music that churches are singing to glorify God and give praise to the Lord. Said, "I have no more ability to believe in these things than I do to believe in Santa Claus, or not believe in gravity, But I have a choice on what to do with these unbeliefs. I could either throw out these stories as lies, or I could try to find some value in them as stories. Now Gungor is involved with a collaborative project called The Liturgist, which features controversial author and speaker Rob Bell, singer Nicole Mortimer, and writer Rachel Held Evans, and others who characterize themselves as being decidedly Christian in practice. One of the EPs entitled God Our Mother explores moving passing God in the masculine, but also as a motherly comforting figure. Enemies of the Cross. It was not that long ago that a man by the name of Steve Calk, then recognized as a top evangelical leader in England, came out against the concept of substitutionary atonement. That is, the idea that Jesus took the penalty for our sins on the cross. No longer believes it, declaring it to be cosmic child abuse. Koch also had a big problem with the idea that God actually required blood to appease His wrath, basically rejecting inspired teachings of the Torah as accommodations to pagan religion. Last year, he declared his support for committed same-sex relationships within the church, calling on other believers to stand with these couples. Is that really such a big surprise? And when will Koch eventually land on the subject of future punishment for the lost, given his current stands? Understand that Koch in England has done a tremendous amount of good. He's called the Billy Graham of the UK, which makes his theological backsliding even more painful. Enemy of the Cross. Another lady by the name of Lena Dunham isn't exactly the first person you expect to see singing hymns in the pew behind you. Starring in the raunchy HBO show Girls and bragging that voting for our now president during the 2012 election for the first time was like losing her virginity. And just a couple of examples of Dunham's racy behavior is set forth and would make us Christians blush, I hope. But the controversial actress is embarking on a tour for her new book, Not That Kind of a Girl, coming out in September next month, that will take place in some churches around the country. On her tour, Dunham will be reading excerpts from her book and answering questions from the audience and special guests, according to the official website. A few stops on her tour include book people at Central Presbyterian Church, Vernon's at Pasadena Presbyterian Church, and University Bookstore at University Temple United Methodist Church. Here is this woman who is selling a book and pushing a book full of sexual agenda, judging from the language she uses on screen and off screen. It's laced with profanity, and churches are opening their doors and saying, come on in and tell our congregation about your book. Enemies of the Cross. Now, I don't want to belabor this, but there's one more I want to share with you. A so-called Christian heavy metal band whose frontman was convicted of attempting to hire a hitman to murder his estranged wife has admitted that he duped fans into believing that they were Christian in order to sell their music. Truthfully, this is quoting him, truthfully, I was an atheist. Tim Lambesis, the lead singer and founder of As I Lay Dying, told the alternative press in a recent interview, I actually wasn't the first guy in the band, this Christian band, to stop being a Christian. In fact, I think I was the third. The two who remained kind of stopped talking about it, and I'm pretty sure they dropped it too. But we continued to profess to be Christians, as did others in the band, in order to sell records to Christian music fans. I remember one Christian festival where an interviewer wanted one of the guys in the band to share his testimony. And he just froze up and let one of the guys who was still a Christian at the time answer the question, Lambesis recalled. We laughed about it afterward, but we were only laughing because it was so awkward. When kids would want to pray with us after shows, I'd be like, go ahead and pray. I would just let them pray. I'd say amen. If praying while I have hand on their shoulder makes them feel better, I didn't want to take away from them, he continued. When they would specifically ask me to pray for something, I'd say, I don't really like to pray out loud, but I'll take it with me to the bus. He said that during his tenure with As I Lay Dying, he realized that a number of bands that professed to be Christians were faking their faith just as he was. We toured with more Christian bands who actually aren't Christians than bands that are, Lambesis said. In 12 years of touring with As I Lay Dying, I would say maybe 1 in 10 Christian bands that we toured with were actually Christians. That comes from Prophecy News Watch website. Friends, we need to watch our examples that we follow. We need to watch who we're following after, that they make sure they line up with the Word of God. They are good examples of the cross of Christ rather than bad examples. What is their destiny? Paul says, their end is destruction, meaning perdition, destroyed, slayed, to lose one's well-being, to be wasted and ruined and given a worthless existence. That's where the enemies of the cross will be. Paul said their God is their belly, that is their appetite, their sensuality, physical and material gratification is their God. They become their own destruction. Their glory is their shame. They boast in their depravity. They are worldly minded and not heavenly minded whatsoever. Now, thirdly, after seeing the good example, the bad example, how are we to live? We are to live in eager expectation. Amen. Living my life following the good example because I want to go to heaven. How many want to go to heaven? How many want everybody else to go to heaven? How many want the sinners down the street to go to heaven? Amen? How many want your neighbor that's not serving God to go to heaven? Best way is to live the example before them. Listen to what Paul says. We are citizens of heaven. Our outlook goes beyond this world to the hopeful expectation of the Savior who will come from heaven to be Lord Jesus Christ. He will remake these wretched bodies of ours to resemble His own glorious body. Anybody looking forward to that? By that power of His which makes Him the master of everything that is. The believer's life is to be heaven-centered. Amen. If your life is centered on the things of this world, you've got it wrong, friend. If your life is centered on your bank account, if your life is centered on your accomplishment, if your life is centered on materialism and this world in which you live, then you've got it wrong. Your life is to be centered on heaven. Dress as a citizen of heaven and not of the earth. To speak and live as a citizen of heaven. To engage in the pleasures of the citizen of heaven. To live by the commandments of Christ. And to worship the God of heaven and not the religions of this old world. Amen? I want to follow Jesus.
Yes.
And I want everybody around me to know who I'm following.
Amen.
The believer's life is to be focused upon the return of Christ. Hallelujah. I'm not focusing on the nursing home. Hello? I'm not focusing when the day comes that I retire and pick up a fishing pole. Amen. I'm focusing on the return of Jesus. Every time I turn on the news and they say something about the Jews, I say, look out. Glory. My redemption's drawing nigh. Hallelujah. My thoughts are not on this earth. The Greek word for look here means to yearn, to eagerly look, wait for the coming of Jesus to take His dear people to heaven. Amen. Once Jesus comes and I move out of 12011 Bear Drive, the Antichrist can have it.
Amen.
Amen. I don't care about it then. I've got a brand new place to go. Jesus said, I go prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The believer's life, lastly, is to focus on the glorious body he is to receive when Christ returns. How many of you know that human bodies are lowly? They're out of the earth. Nothing more than earthly chemicals and waters. Wilson Thomas wrote a song. And in that song, he said, you put a $10 hat on a 10-cent head. I've opened the boxes of those that have been cremated. And I've seen what's inside. Just little slithers of bone and a bunch of dust. Nothing left. It's all a bunch of water. Poof. And there's not much left. Oh, that all there is to us. Hello. Hello. Some of you probably put more Maybelline on this morning than what your whole body is worth. But as one preacher I heard, I had a preacher friend down at Waldorf, Maryland, and he told me one time, every old barn needs a little paint. He said it, I didn't. This old body that we live in is subject to sin and selfishness, evil and destruction. It's weak. It becomes sick and diseased, injured, maimed, aged, deteriorated. You want me to keep on going? I heard of one old fella, he put a pole up next to his bed. And he told his wife, when the alarm goes off in the morning, I get up, I'll get a hold of the pole and I'll pull, you push. This old body is corruptible and dying. I got an email from my doctor the other day. Got all of my medical stuff online. And so I clicked on it and I went in, put my password and everything in. And here's a whole list of everything she says is wrong with me. Hypertension. High blood pressure. Skin cancer. Renal deterioration disease. I thought when I got to the bottom of the list, well, I'm about to die. I said, glory! Hallelujah. Came back from the eye doctor and he said, you've got the beginnings of glaucoma. We'll put you on drops here for long, or you'll go blind. I said, Lord have mercy, I'm falling apart. Done lost all my hair. God have mercy on me. I tell you what, I'm not going to focus on this old body. This old world. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm focusing on a wonderful declaration. The Lord Jesus said He would change this vile body and fashion it like unto His glorious body. Woo! Hallelujah. I can still get off the ground. Amen. I'm going to be changed one of these days. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Amen. I see some of you coming in with your canes and your walkers and you got new hips and new knees and new teeth and new lenses. And I'm glad you can get those new things. But hey, I'm holding out for that eternal body. Hallelujah. That'll never die. That'll never grow old. That'll never know pain or sadness or death anymore. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now how's that going to be possible? By the power. Whew. I said by the power of the Creator of the universe. The same one that in the Garden of Eden formed a body out of dust and breathed upon it, and Adam became a living soul. Hallelujah. When these eyes close in death, or when the trumpet sounds and I begin to leave the ground, I'm telling you what, there's going to be a transformation by the Creator of the universe that will breathe upon every one of His children and saints. And we, as we go up, will receive a brand new eternal body that we can live forever in the presence of God. Somebody say hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, I've got to quit. I'm about spent.
Thank you.
Amen. Are you going to be a champion of the cross? Is that your intention? Is that your goal? Is that what you want to be? Then you've got to watch how you live. You've got to be a good example. You've got to set the way for everybody who looks at you. Don't ever dare to do anything that is contrary to the book. Amen? Live according to its precepts. Live according to what it says. And as you do, Jesus Christ will empower you that as others see your life and they'll follow after you and they'll say, I want to be like them. I want to be a Christian. I want to serve the Lord. And then as you live with your eyes focused on the eternal glory of heaven, hallelujah, you'll give them a hope that from this whole world they have a brand new life to look forward to. Stand with me this morning. Praise God. If anybody wants to jump up, go ahead and jump. Hallelujah. Anybody wants to run down the aisle, go ahead, help yourself. Praise the Lord. You won't be able to do it too much longer in this whole body that you're in. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't know about you, but I want to be an example for Christ. Yes.